Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here are your hosts, the one and only Dr. Payray and the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
The practice is growing. You guys are now two super general dentists at this point. You're both doing implants. You're both doing wisdom teeth. You now have added IV sedation to your practice. You know, you've grown hygiene. You're in this dilapidated building.
Well, and what we were doing to kind of just tie that up is, because you mentioned these things, is we kept pouring on more steam. Yeah. So when we saw a comb beam worked, we were like,
you put more fuel in the fire.
Right. We didn't just take that, sit in our laurels and enjoy that. We reinvested that back into, what can we do better clinically? What can we do better business-wise? What CE can we take?
We kept taking CE. We kept investing in technology.
My kids, thank you guys.
Yeah. A lot of us three dentists. We kept the gas to the floor. Yeah. And I think that was it. That was important.
We soon bought a Speedfire, a second oven.
Another Cerec.
We soon bought another Cerec. We bought another, so now we're 3 mils and 2 prime scans and a...
You know what's amazing to me is how many people say, well, I don't want to grow because I'm going to have to spend money.
Yeah, it's the other way around.
Can't help them.
I'm like, wait a minute. You don't want to make more because you're going to have to spend a little bit of money?
Right. I mean,
anyway. All right. Now let's talk about the realization that you were outgrowing, 2 points. And I want to get serious for a second here. Okay, get back to being serious. The realization that you're outgrowing your space and your procedure mix is outgrowing your space, and your space wasn't reflective of the dentistry that you were doing and trying to do, okay? So let's talk about that realization and the process to the decision process, because I'm looking back to, because I'm working, I don't want to say I'm good. Working with you, we're friends at this point.
Yeah, but this is huge.
And I want to walk through that process. And I know it from your side, not from your side, because I was more intimately involved in hearing these processes. So let's talk about the realization. Okay. When did you guys realize that you needed a new space outside of the fact that you wanted it when you first moved in? When did it become a business reality that your space was costing you money?
Probably not long after you bought in January 1st, 2017. 50-50 partners. We formed Sullivan Dental Partners. 6 months after that?
Yeah.
Maybe sooner?
Was it more you or him?
It was him.
Yeah, I figured that.
When the realization became clear that we were, that idea of, okay, now we no longer can catch every hygiene check. We're having to do it once a year. You know, we're getting booked out. When the realization became that, hey, I think we could use a third doctor, neither one of us thought that was possible in our current space.
Rightfully so. Okay.
So that realization became
that's probably like two years in, basically. Okay.
Yeah.
So like 3-4 years ago.
Correct.
Probably 4 years ago.
It was probably 4 years ago that we started kicking tires about, like, you know, this won't be our forever home. Now, Dad at that time, I think, was totally probably, you know, Dad knew he was going to practice a long time, but he also, I don't think, knew that the new space would be, he would be as
reinvigorated
and 50% involved in the whole thing at this point. You know, I think, you know,
did you honestly think you'd finish your career over there?
I kind of didn't. You know, Dad always said at some point in our situation, the dirt would be worth more than you can make from practicing dentistry. That was a tipping point. And the economic and the growth around us was approaching that tipping point. But the problem with that was, anywhere we go now is expensive. There's not any land. Everything's built out, all that kind of stuff.
And those were some hard conversations for us, because Dad owned the land, but we owned the business together.
So and you weren't a partner in the real estate.
I wasn't a partner in the real estate. So here I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to necessarily make long-term plans not knowing what your plan is too. You know, those were just some tough conversations that we had. And so, you know, two things happened.
And by that, you meant you didn't want to spend a ton of money in leasehold improvements
right.
on something that you didn't necessarily own and that you had no control of where your $500,000
right. in leasehold he was concerned that all of a sudden I would up and sell a practice and what we're going to do, that kind of thing.
And like I knew Dad wasn't going to try to screw me, but it was just, it was still, it's a fear of.
Of course.
Where we're at, right?
And the reason I bring that up is I clarify that statement by what you meant, because it applies to many people. You know, majority of dentists lease their space. And that lease holds them back from investing in their practice, okay? Because they're like, well, I don't own it. I want to spend the money. And again, it comes back to that. You got to put money in to get the money out, you know? So, okay. So we've decided that we need a place 4 years ago, okay? Now, it took what, a year to build this place?
Like almost exactly.
A year to build a place. Let's call it 6 months to allocate for getting the dirt.
It was a year, basically, from when we bought the land and we started building.
Okay. So, but there, that's 2 years.
2 years
okay?
of building.
It's about a 2 year process. But
the reason I'm bringing this up, okay, is 4 years ago, you realized you wanted or needed, or you were seeing that this was going to exist. And you know, we are only accounting for 2 years of that time. Let's walk through that first 2 years from the realization to actually building what we're in today, what you guys are in today, I'm visiting today, that realization, let's walk through that 2 year period. What was the process? And let me help us along here. I know you called me a lot, and my answer was always, why don't you walk through the exercise of doing that? Because at one point you wanted to lease the space.
Well, so remember, so mentally, Dad and I were, we wanted to own, because mm-hmm. Dad had been
that's an
owner-occupied yeah. thing his entire career. And like, so I obviously, that's all I saw. So like, to me, that was the mentality. Now, what really accelerated this process was my grandma, to throw in some more family fun dynamics, which I know you will love, is my grandma owned the land that we're currently sitting on that was next door to our old building. And we had known that at some point that she would sell the land or she would do something. There was a little kind of burger bar here that it had been a number of different things that were leasing the space. And it kind of finally became to a point where she wanted to cash out and sell the land. Well, she came to us, and I think at the time she wanted $1.6 million, $2 million for the 0.6 acres that we're sitting on for the dirt and the little shack that was on it, which was absolutely, utterly.
And that was April of 18. She called me over on a Sunday afternoon. I went to the house, and her and her husband at the time, so we're going to sell the house. We need to move to assisted living or independent living, and we need this much a month, so we're going to sell the property, and it's $2 million.
So that was... That moment was huge, because that then, this is when everything like started pressing play. Because now Dad and I are sitting, we've got an opportunity to buy the land next door to our building. What a unbelievable opportunity to do that and build our dream space and make it happen. So the first thing I did was I probably called you and I called a couple other people and said, here's what I got. Can this work? And the hard part about this is, and T-Bone, you and I talk a lot about this with mastermind people, is that it's so hard to separate emotion from an ego and jealousy from sometimes the numbers and the reality of the situation. So Dad and I both at this point are superly emotional in that, gosh, if we could get this, like we want this space, we want this land. And you were, I mean, I remember you basically being like, dude, the math doesn't work. Like you... And by the way,
the math for this place doesn't, looking back, this was the least of all the math. This was the worst math ever.
It'll work.
But that's a different story. But I think the process was very important.
Right. So then, and my best friend's saying the same thing. He's like, dude, you can't buy that little land because you can only build so big of a building. And it doesn't make sense to do that, you know, and for a dental space, it doesn't make sense. And so you said, I really need you to you and your dad to go look at space, other space, and see what else is in your area that you would consider moving to from an owning and a leasing standpoint. And I need you to work through that process. And that's what we did.
And so, and I also said, if you remember, I said, wait.
Dad did say, wait, because I, me at 30,
you're ready. You're
years
like,
old,
tomorrow,
I was like,
tomorrow,
we can
tomorrow.
Do it. We can make it work. We'll grind. We'll yeah. push, right?
Well, I had done enough real estate and also knew my mother, that they were asking the moon.
Yeah.
I knew what the comps, I knew what the comps were. Absolutely. You know? And so I understood that stuff. And so I said, just wait, let's see what happens.
So we started looking.
How important was going through that process?
Huge. We went and looked at probably six different spaces.
Lease and purchase.
Lease and purchase.
Existing buildings, dirt.
I drove you by one, remember? Yeah. And we went and walked through it.
I left.
And
never really looked at much dirt. It was pretty much at this area. But we wanted, I wanted to stay within a half a mile.
Mile or so.
I didn't want to get off to another township or anything like that.
And so we found a space. And we were so far along that we had
plans.
We had plans. And this was another thing. I was thinking, like, do I need to get a designer, an architect, whatever? And you said, hey, your distributor will help you start to design plans basically at no cost.
It's free.
It's free.
Take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. And so we worked with Mike Williams and basically had functional plans in a lease space. And that was huge for me because I've never, dad's done it a little bit, but we've really never designed a dental space.
And see what went into it.
To see what went into it so that by the time it came around to this, we had done it once, on paper. And through, we were literally at a point where we were, our attorneys were talking lease agreements. And then, so you fast forward to the fall.
That summer, August, I had gone to Boca to a Dentsply Sirona treatment center event in Boca Raton. And I'm sitting there next to Mike Williams, who's the office.
And this land is under contract.
This land is with someone else under contract. I get a text message from my mom's attorney that the land came back at 0.6 acres, not 0.7. So he changed his offer. Would we be interested at?
It was at 1 point.
Would we be interested 1.3, at 1.25 million? I said, hang on. I text Sully. I turned to Mike Williams and said, how much does it cost to build a building on per square foot? He texts Schaub, who ultimately was our builder.
We're doing math on the fly.
So I'm literally sitting here with three text messages, conversations going. And I text back the attorney, we'll take it. No bank, no nothing. Like, here we go.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
And then here comes the drama.
So this is the fun part.
Yeah, but the drama is family stuff.
Yeah, family stuff. You know. Ended up that the attorney went back to the buyer and said, we had a little.
Every deal has that.
We had some eBay go.
But I think
we
it's had important eBay to mention going. That, like, it wasn't like it was some.
There's always. Right. You're like, oh my God, it's like buying a house today. Oh, I'm getting this house. It's great. No, it's not.
Yeah, counteroffers.
And then emotions.
Was all,
then
so
emotions
hard.
Get
so
in
hard.
The way, right? And then the whole I'm not giving in, gets, and there's a lot to talk about there. But for
those that think we got it in a song and a dance because it was my mother's property, no,
that's
we didn't.
Not
we,
true.
We paid retail and then some.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it came back and it,
So, okay. So there's a couple of things that are important to me there. Okay. My dad never told me, he never made a decision for me, but I always joke that I don't make decisions without my dad, but yet he's never once in my life made a decision for me. He's always told me, well, why don't you work through that? What does it look like if you choose to rent a space? What does it look like if you choose to buy this house or buy this car? Or, I kind of just went through that with the nonprofit place and all of that. He's like, what does it look like? What are the pluses and minuses? And it's a great exercise because you learn so much. You learn about leases. You learn what's hidden in leases, what's not hidden in leases. You learn what goes into a floor plan. You go learn all those things. So there's that process that sometimes we have set in our mind that this is the way we want to go. And sometimes going through the process makes us miss things. Okay, we miss a deal or we miss this or we miss an opportunity and we're going to have regrets a little bit. Sometimes going through the process allows us to be ready and available when something does show up.
So on that point, what made us able to make those decisions so quickly when it did come back around was because we had gone through the process. We knew that, okay, at that point, at that value, we could make it work. Yeah. It made sense. Yeah. It was okay.
Because lease space has a cost.
Right.
Upfitting lease space has a cost. The equipment is the equipment. So that's going to be, for the most part, the same.
Sure.
No matter where you go, whether you take old equipment, buy new equipment, all of that stuff. You're going through the process. And another part of which will foreshadow this, I don't want to talk too much detail with that, but it's you never know until you ask, right, in terms of equipment. But I don't want to get into too much of that story. But, it's you never know until you ask. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is if you don't leverage and befriend reps, you wouldn't know what it costs to build something. If you couldn't turn to Mike for example, and say how much this is and leverage his network. He's not shooting out of blue sky of what it's going to cost. He's like, well, this XYZ builder is a reputable builder who's built other dental offices. Let me ask them what this costs. And maybe it's plus or minus 30, 40, 50% based on what your tastes are, right? It all varies. Okay. But at least gives you an idea so that you can do paper napkin math and be like, okay.
Which we literally did.
Right. But that's how all things should be. It's paper napkin math. You can't be paralytical, you know, can't get paralysis in the analysis of it. So I wanted to talk about going through the process of looking at space. And I try to get all the masterminders that say, you know, I've got my eye on this land. I'm like, what else have you looked like? That's it. I'm like, how can you do, I can't buy anything without looking.
It's because we make emotional decisions, because we get emotion. And like, and I, again, there were things that you had done for me from a mentor standpoint that I saw worked. And so like you kept building your own personal capital in my trust with you, because I saw what you did and it worked. So then when you would say stuff like that, I was willing to do it. I think that sometimes the hard part is so hard to set aside the emotional aspect of it. Of, well, I don't want to go look at lease space because I want to own.
And then when we say look at it, like, I mean, literally look at it.
Look at it.
No, not like just, oh, I went by and looked at it. Oh, I took a tour. I'm talking about what does it cost to build it?
Right.
Like, what is the space? You know, what are you giving up? Is it a shopping center? Is there plus of that? Is it minus? The first one you showed me, I'm like, it's even a worse location than you're already in. Like, why would you step backwards? You know, that was my reaction to it. I remember the one down the street.
An old karate studio. Yeah.
Like, that's worse.
Part of it is, though, it's the same mental process you go through buying a cone beam, buying a CEREC, buying a prime scan, is that we realize there, again, we're betting on ourselves. This is the ultimate bet on ourselves.
Yeah. All right. So we realized 2 years in that we were outgrowing our space, that we were outgrowing the type of dentistry we're doing in our space, and all of that. Then we realized that we wanted to have a new building, and we spent 2 years going through the process. And part of that was, it's a lot of money. Okay. Part of that is, you know, we got to find the right spot or not right spot. Part of that is, you know, we have ups and downs. We go spend a lot of time designing a place, doing all of that, and then that didn't work out, or that didn't meet code, or whatever it is. The landlord said XYZ, all of those things. We go through the fears, okay? Because what was your, if you don't mind, what was your rent at the place next door? Because when I say rent, I know you owned it, but you paid rent to yourself.
We paid rent $5,000.
$5,000 a month. And this place is far above $5,000 a month, correct?
Probably 6 or 7x.
Yeah. So, you know, with this going through the fear of that, going through the decision process on of that. And then the other part I think we should talk about a little bit is, so when we build a new place, our first thought is we want to do it the traditional way, which is, oh, it's 10 by 10 ops, or it's 10 by 12 ops, or hey, I can do it. And I have zero issues with design ergonomics. I like them. I've had their equipment in my office. Hey, I can get away with these skinnier ops and do all of this. And I remember when we've gone through that with Will and some other people, I've always said, what type of dentistry are you trying to do? So walk us through the decision process, Sully and Rick, of the type of office you were trying to build. We know we want it to be beautiful. We want it to be this and that. But let's talk more about the functional part of that, which is, you know, operatory size, all of that stuff. What went into that thought process?
We wanted room.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, again, this is where probably it was helpful to kind of work through things, because when you get on Facebook, what you see is that there are, you know, you get camps, right? Like everybody, like Breakaway is a big one, you know, dual entry, single entry. This is stuff I'd never even thought of. You know, I was in big open bays where we just kind of crammed stuff in because it was what the space allowed, and we kept adding on. And so one of the biggest exercises was starting to step back and decide, okay, how do we want to practice in the space, and what do we want to do if we can design it for our own? And to me, I think that's one of the most important things that someone looking to build their own space or build out their own space should think about is, how do you practice dentistry? And what is probably my biggest pet peeve is when you ask for advice, you should ask them, how do they like to practice dentistry? Because if you're someone who likes to work for operatories and, you know, run around crazy, or you, maybe you don't do any surgery, or you, you know, what, however it is that you practice, you would not be, you shouldn't come to my office and look at how we do things. Depending on how you practice is how you should build your office. So as we started working through those exercises, we kind of looked and said, hey, we really like doing more comprehensive dentistry. We like doing longer appointments, seeing less people, doing a lot of IV sedation. And, you know, and then from a storage standpoint, we really wanted to have kind of a central storage. So what happened and ended up happening was we really took ideas from different camps to kind of mold them together to build out our own space, kind of how we wanted to do it.
Okay. So talk to us about more specifics about that. Like, what changed along the way? Like, how'd you end up with surgical operatories? How'd you design? How are your hygiene operatories different than your doctor?
Yeah.
I'm saying is it can't be a one size fit all.
No. So let's think about that.
Because
so,
in my view, you have three different operatories right. In here. You have surgical operatories, you have dentist operatories, you have hygiene operatories, and they're all three different.
So the obvious one was that we wanted to have, Dad and I knew that we wanted to have some surgery operatories.
And what made you, tell me about the
part of that was because, you know, living in our old space, we knew that we wanted to have centrifuges, monitors, you'd have scanners. There was
IV poles.
You know, we wanted to have more counter space to lay things out. So a traditional kind of small 12 o'clock cabinet with a dual entry model wasn't going to work for that. We wanted more privacy in those operatories. You know, we didn't want side cabinetry necessarily, right? We knew that if we had all this cabinetry in the operatories, that stuff would get stored there. And, you know, I really wanted to cut down on the amount of space that people could store stuff, because then it's like your house, you know, you find stuff that you never really realized you put places because it just gets there and sits there. What was a big difference for us, which is kind of, I guess, on some level, a little unique, is that we wanted to do, we had two left-handed hygienists and three right-handed. So single entry wouldn't really work, because a negative to single entry is it's going to limit on some level, because it's
single entry on the right side or the left side.
Right. Cause then it puts, yes. Yeah. And so for us, we did all of our hygiene, in dual entry with 12 o'clock cabinets, patient, over the chair delivery from the chair. And, because we wanted to kind of accommodate that flexibility in hygiene. You know, you also don't need quite as much privacy in the hygiene operatories maybe as you do when you're doing, you know, more intensive stuff in the doctor treatment rooms. So all of our doctor treatment rooms are 10 by 12, and they all have single entry.
All your general dentistry doctor rooms are 10 by 12.
Correct. And then, which again is an excessive size relative to, like, you know,
it's not in my opinion.
It's not in our opinion, yeah. Right. But compared to some of the people that will say you only need 10 by 10, 10 by 8, stuff like that. You know, it, and again,
based on the type of dentistry we're trying to do,
we've got 11,000 square feet and only 15 ops.
Yeah.
We could have put 20 ops
or 30 ops,
but our mentality is that I want to do, you know, my best day would see that I have, and not even a big implant hybrid stuff. My best day would that I would see one patient, they would be sedated
in the morning.
And
one
I would do
afternoon.
Right. And I would do three crowns and four fillings and a root canal on them. And then the afternoon would be something similar to that. It's general dentistry in a comprehensive manner.
Let's clarify. He's going to go home in the afternoon. I'm going to see pages.
Yeah, I'm going to do one patient like that and then go play golf or whatever. But,
well, you're just jealous.
I know.
And then in the surgery, we wanted, and then we kept the same thing on hygiene. So still
10 by 12.
10 by 12 in hygiene. Again,
just dual entry.
Just dual entry.
Okay.
And the doctors, we went 12 by 15. I mean, the surgery upstairs.
Okay.
That was a concern at first. Again,
that is too big.
Not too big, but what was surgery going to look like upstairs? Mm-hmm. You know, now we're putting, you know, we got multiple floors based off the land, you know, trying to partition where stuff goes. You know, is that going to be weird having different stuff on both floors? And we have two sterilizations.
But we still don't know what that's like because we haven't started yet.
We don't, right?
But conceptually, it makes sense.
And conceptually, it gave us the opportunity to, let's say that Sullivan Dental Partners decides that we're not, we want to, you know, I don't know, at some point we're not going to be here anymore and someone uses this space. Well, now the space is basically two offices, right? It's got its own waiting room, its own store. So that made a lot of sense to create these segments in the space that would do different things. But again, it all came back to the core of how we want to practice and what we want to do. And that's important.
And I want to add to that. It's not just how you want to practice today, but also looking at or dreaming about how you want to practice 3, 4, 5 years from now. Because, you know, my vision for you, Rick, is, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years from you, from now, Rick is literally the guy that comes in and I'm going to do a surgery a couple of times a week and I'm going to be out of here. I know you mentally don't like that idea, but, you know, you'll get to a point where you like that. And my vision for Sully is almost very similar. It's where you're coming in, you're doing just the dentistry you want to do. Maybe you don't want to leave. You want to go downstairs and visit with your patient so you stay connected to them. Okay. And then the general dentistry practice, in my opinion, should be run by either future partners or other associates. So, you know, I think that there's an important aspect of that, that we should build our practice, not just for where we're at, but where we want to do, because I'm a firm believer, if you build it, you will find a way to build to that. You know, you'll find a way to fill
field of dreams.
And that's probably like Dad's definitely been like really good about letting me kind of have those like 5, 10 year dreams, you know, like so one of the big exercises that we went through was, do we take the whole building versus not?
Right.
Right. Because initially the plan was,
yeah,
not.
I remember talking about that. Initially you're gonna take half the building and.
Right. And lease the upstairs or at least part of the upstairs. And so, you know, going through the exercise of laying it out without that.
And that's an opportunity cost. Like, how much rent are you going to get?
And then looking at calling our real estate buddies, seeing what rent we could get, doing the math on that and saying, oh gosh, well, if I just do, you know, if I'm only getting.
Oh, I'm going to get $4,000 a month in rent.
Then it didn't make sense. So that was super. So the decisions we were making along those sides of design, layout, taking the whole building, you know, those were, we tried to not make just emotional decisions.
Actually. I remember the building wasn't quite this big at one point in time.
It was a little smaller.
And then you guys were only going to take half the building and then, you know, either the top floor or the bottom floor.
So by doing the lease exercise previously, we realized that we needed 6,500 feet to really get what we wanted.
At this time.
With the number of operatories and team room and things like that. And so we realized that the one floor, basically 5,000 feet here, wasn't going to be enough. And so this goes back to our discussion of previously, me sort of stepping back from my, oh my gosh, we gotta rent half of this, give him the opportunity and the dignity to make this thing work. And let's play it out. Let me not try to control it, not try to micromanage it.
I think the dignity wasn't to let it make it work. The dignity was to let him go through the process of seeing what it would take to work. You know, let him find out.
And then me being open-minded enough to listen.
Yeah.
And then running that by my planner and stuff and said, okay, this is going
to
work.
Because I think, I remember talking to Sully about this and I was talking to him like, dude, why are you going through all this trouble for $5,000 in rent? Like, you don't want somebody there. It stifles your growth, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know.
Takes our parking.
Yeah. I mean, and then you got to deal with somebody. I mean, like, who the hell wants to deal
with
somebody?
Right now, he and I have the keys.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about who else is coming in here at 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
You know, and especially, you know, so to me, the business side, the pure business side is like, oh, you want to rent it, you don't want to waste space. But then there's an opportunity cost of that, you know? And to me, the opportunity cost, let's say you lose $5,000 a month and it takes you, it's 2, 3 years before you really grow into this place. That's $180,000. In the scheme of things, that's nothing.
That's less than a month's production.
I mean, that's nothing, right? So the opportunity, leaving it open. It's like when people ask me, why don't you rent out the retreat? I'm like, because if they take up a Friday or Saturday.
It's messed up your weekend.
Dude, it screws up a course.
Right.
And that $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever dollar amount it is, I get in rent to rent out my training center, it's a drop in the bucket. Like one extra course anytime I demand it is worth any number of rent I'll get for 2 years.
Exactly. And that's what we found out here.
Yeah. And so that's the opportunity cost. So, okay. So now let's talk about, while Sully has left us for a second here. And I'm sorry, this has gone longer than we anticipated, but I think it's a great conversation. I'm all in it. All right. So now let's talk about let's talk about this. Now I'm glad it's just me and you, because I'm hearing things from Sully, and I don't know your reaction or your thought process on it.
Well, you know, the one kicker here that I think is really important to put is, you know, 58 years old, I'm moving into a brand new, mm-hmm. basically about a $6 million mm-hmm. all in cost.
A lot of money.
You know, is I was able to sell my place.
Right.
Okay. So I was pretty equitied up because mm-hmm. I'd had it since 1993.
Yeah, your cost basis wasn't what you sold it for.
No, so I was able to, you know, get a significant nest egg a few weeks ago when we closed. It's all going to go in funding retirement plans for me. So there's definitely some advantages there. You know, plus I'm going halves into this where I was whole into that. So, you know, this is some long-term financial planning.
And people are going to say, well, the half is now $3 million, but it's self-funded. And the business pays for it, right? So, and I know you're part of the business, but the business is revenueing, it's cash flowing. They're paying for it. And this is a great segue into the next conversation. I remember Sully talking about how busy you guys were. And we hear this from lots of people. I'm busy. I need this. I need that. And I go, well, why don't you just get another dentist? Because we don't have the space. And my response was, well, why have you gone through the process of what it would look like to bring a third dentist in? So again, let's kind of frame it here. Okay. We're in 2,700 square feet-ish. Okay. We're two dentists, eight operatories. We're now at this point, I think you guys are almost at $2.5 million.
We're in the summer of 2020.
Right.
Post lockdown,
yeah.
Post COVID, or smack dab in the middle of this.
Yeah. And at this point, your practice has grown from 1.4 to 1.5. And I think at that point, you're at 2.5, 2.8, something like that. You know, maybe 3 million.
We were over 3 last year.
Yeah. So you're clearly, you have maxed out everything you can get out of this business, out of that space, I should say. And then Sully's like, I'm like, well, why don't you get another dentist? You need another dentist. You need another dentist. And he's like, well, where am I going to put them? He goes, I'm just going to wait till we get to the building. I go, well, like your building is going to be, at that time, I thought it was going to be like 4 million, not 6 million. Okay. I'm like, you're going from a $5,000 rent to a $25,000 rent. And like, why wait to pay that 20? Why wait to incur a 20 grand up cost? So why don't you at least just look at what it would look like to, so when he came to you and said, I want to bring a third dentist into our current space, what was your initial thought to that?
Well, because I was used to him coming to me with ideas now, and honestly, in all fairness, 95% of them had worked out really well. You know, it was like with employees, whenever we lost an employee, I'd get all bent out of shape about it. And he would say, Dad, is the new person better than what we had? And I'm like, I kind of have to shake my head and go, yeah, you're right. You know, so that being said, it's like, okay, at this point, I'm like, all right, what's the next idea? Yeah. You know,
so Sully, what I'm talking about here is so we're trying, you know, we're getting to the end of the story here because I know it's long. Okay. We were talking about, we're at 2,700 square feet. You're at two dentists. You've grown from 1.5 to $3 million ish, you know, plus or minus 100,000 on either end. You've obviously maxed out that building. You want to wait to bring in a third dentist for when you get into the building. And I'm just always saying, I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just saying, have you thought about what it would look like to bring the third dentist in? And I was just asking your dad, what crazy thoughts went through his head when you said, I think we can bring a third dentist in into our current space. And I think this is so important because I think too many people say, I can't bring somebody in until I get this. And I'm always of the mindset of let's prove it because, you know, maybe you should just stay in your building.
So this was kind of like bringing Sully in round two.
Right.
In other words, exactly. I'd already done this before and it worked. So I was like, let's
now,
go.
The logistics part of it was trying to get creative, right? Because our thought was, okay, we'll wait.
And at this point, you guys only open 4 days a week.
We're only open 4 days a week. You know, Dad's always kind of dabbled the idea of like a Friday, you know, for
here and there
surgeries, yeah. but not really committed to that. And so then we thought, okay, well, how can we get creative with the schedule? So we looked at, okay, if we hire a fourth doctor, when could we work?
Obviously, the third dentist.
The third doctor, sorry. If I hire a third doctor, obviously we have Friday. Mm-hmm. But if we're all here, that's three docs and four chairs, and we run a pretty robust assistant column already with like sleep, some ortho. Yeah. So like that's going to really kind of put us at one chair per doc.
which I think is doable, but there's some definitely challenges with
mentally.
It.
That was a huge barrier because I mean, Dad, remember when I got there before,
he was running all
three
over.
Chairs. Yeah. So now I'm trying to get him to go
do one.
To one chair right. after I've already kind of got him
that
to
was
two.
That was the biggest, hardest step for me. And Sully will tell you it still is.
Yeah, it still is. I get the calls every once in a while.
It still is, but he's getting better. And so, and I mean, and not lose the production because remember, we're still independent people with retirement plans, yeah. with families. Well, we got to make our number, right?
And I think also even more pressure now because you know you've got to make this down payment for this building.
The building's coming.
You know this building is coming.
Well, we're getting bills.
Right. So you're like, I got to produce too. I remember having
We've never felt that pressure. Yeah,
you've never felt
I never
that
felt
pressure.
That pressure
yeah.
before.
He has.
Yeah.
When you were coming in.
I never felt it before.
You know, but now you're feeling that pressure.
And so we started looking at chance. So then not only am I asking him to go to one chair, but now I'm asking him to go to 3 days clinically. So yeah. I said, here's what I think we can do.
3 days doing dentistry.
3 days doing dentistry. So here's what I want to do. I want to go to where basically you and I have 3 days where we do dentistry and 1 day where we just do hygiene checks and
consults.
So like a consult day kind of a deal. And where basically that's no production essentially, mm-hmm. virtually. And
no direct production,
right? What was crazy was it became my
most important day
ever.
It was the
I'm not giving it up
day.
Now. Yeah. We have more chairs than ever, and I'll have one day that will just be consults.
All right, so let's come back to this. So we had talked about your mindset was let's wait, we'll get in the building, then we can bring somebody in. My said was just go through the exercise of what it would look like, and we had worked through some of this.
And even as far as like interviewing, because at the time we weren't even considering interviewing people, and you're like, dude, it may take you a year to find the right person.
It's a great thing. Now you don't have to make a decision. Now you literally can just interview and find the right person.
Right.
You know,
with no pressure.
Right. So now my first thought was, okay, you want to bring somebody in 4 days a week. So that's full time at the end of the day.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So where do we find 4 days?
Correct.
Okay. So we have Friday.
That's one.
Okay. That's one. And then my initial says, why don't you just both cut down to 3 days? Okay. And so that's two and three, right? So suddenly just by doing that, we've got three of the 4 days that we need to bring an associate in a current space. And I didn't say let's cut to 3 days and not work the fourth day. Let's make the fourth day your hygiene day, right? So in other words, think about this. Now you're doing, I'm going to make up the days here. Rick's going to be working Monday, and he's going to be focused on all his big cases where going to check hygiene is a hindrance, clinically, for good dentistry.
Right.
But Sully's there. He's dedicated to checking hygiene.
Yeah.
That gives Magna the opportunity to focus on speed, not having to get up, all of those things, correct?
I spend more time with the patient. I probably diagnose more dentistry.
And then Tuesday's the opposite. Sully's doing his big cases, and Rick's there to do the hygiene and to mentor the associate. You know, and then Wednesday's the crazy day. Like it's all hands on deck. And then now Rick doesn't work, you know, whatever. Now you go to working Fridays, you take Mondays off, whatever it may be, to suddenly, it just, the puzzle pieces fit together to where you guys were able to, with creative thinking and a different mindset, we're able to run three dentists out of eight chairs and essentially fund this building. Because now we went from, so I was mentioning that we went from 1.5, I say we, as
you were along the road.
You're actually part of the we.
Yeah, I'm part of the we. I get that, but
you're not an equitable partner.
I win a lot in this because I don't win economically, but I win so much joy and pleasure and proudness.
You win your white children.
Yeah. So we saw the practice go from 1.5 to 3 million. Now we're going from $5,000 in rent to $30,000 in rent. And that's a direct pay cut to you guys ultimately, okay, is how I looked at it. And now we've gone from, in the span of building the office and bringing in the associate, we've gone from 3 million to 4 million. So now when you move here, the rent is already paid. I'm not saying it's prepaid, but you're not questioning where's the money coming from.
Well, and I've noticed it because like Dad and I have continued to make the same amount with our expenses significantly higher, right?
Yeah.
We're paying.
You're funding the mortgage. You're paying interest only, and all
right.
that.
So all these things that we're paying, and it's like, well, gosh. And a lot of these are one-time expenses, TVs, things, but it's still these big expenses.
Adds up is 10, 20 grand in cash.
We're still not feeling that, which is crazy.
And to me, the other part, the important, the to me, the long-term important part of that is, and I hope people are following along as we're talking about this. And what I mean by they funded it is they proved the concept. Number one, they proved that they need three dentists.
So let me show you that there's one part of this variable that's really, that's even more fun, because at this point, we're just jumping on, we're piling on. January, we said we're going to have five hygienists in the new building. So we go, okay, let's add a fifth hygienist.
Because you proved to both of us that, like, okay, we could get creative.
We could do this.
Yeah. And, so, and when this is not even expanded hours yet outside of Fridays.
Yeah, we haven't gone.
Like,
to,
I'm like, why don't you go 7 to 5?
Right. So keep going, Dad. Because we didn't want to have to get here and then grow our hygiene department.
So Sully goes, okay, we're going to hire, let's hire a hygienist. Okay, how are we going to do it? So Sully works Monday through Thursday with Megan. I work Tuesday through Friday. But Friday gets to be is my go day, so I get to kind of by myself, double up. It makes me happy.
And then the hygienists we moved around to, so they had a Monday to Thursday and a Tuesday to Friday schedule.
Yeah, so that hygienist, yeah, so we divvied up. And then we hired a hygienist, so she was able to fill in the days the other hygienist had given up to go
Monday and Friday.
And so we ended up where we asked Megan to go to 3 days.
To do what we were doing, go to a consult day.
So she gives up Wednesday
for her chair.
For her consult day, check hygiene day, admin day. So now we have a hygienist working in the doctor ops on Wednesday alongside us while she's doing overflow. He's got a chair. I've got a chair.
And the beauty of that, Megan could pop in doing a
Megan's production. Easy. Megan's production has gone up.
Yeah. Because she's diagnosing more, doing more. Mm-hmm.
So it's been crazy.
Some level of same day dentistry.
So now we got the hygienist to 3 days. And then lastly, the bonus here was our sterile tech is a retired hygienist who we asked to come back and do 1 day on that Monday to gain us the fourth day to where we're running five hygienists, full-time hygienists, out of four hygiene chairs in our current space.
So you don't need the new building in theory, right?
That's what was so crazy was I looked at that a couple weeks ago. I said, the crazy part is we don't need the new building yet.
I mean, if you stayed there, you're so profitable.
I know.
No, don't even tell me that. No.
Well, but what we did, we put an ad out. And never know how long it takes to get a fourth doctor. And our fourth doctor started and did one crown in the new building on the last day.
It's
three mils.
It took him 3 mils, but that's all right.
But so again, so 1 year ago, the conversation was, we're going to add the next hygienist and the next dentist when we move to the new building. Today, day one in the new building, by the way, today, in my opinion, this is day one in the new building. For you guys, Monday's the day one in the new building. You're adding your fourth dentist and your sixth hygienist in the new building.
So when he got out of school and started in 2015, I had 7 employees. We're moving over here with 20. We were so backed up in that building. There was a line for the bathroom.
Well, you have to go through the consult room to get to the bathroom. But
yeah. I mean, it was, we on some level, we kind of peaked too soon, a month or two too soon.
And so to me, the whole point in bringing all of this up is don't ever hinder your growth. Don't wait to go through the process. And you may have gone through the process and said it didn't work. And so now, to me, there's a level of critical thinking and creative thinking that's been instilled that no matter what, the answer is not it can't work. All right, let me see how it would work. And in my opinion, your dental lifestyle is better because now you're hustling 3 days a week instead of 4 days a week. You have a day where you're planting lots of good seeds, you know, and you've moved here and you've proven how you're going to pay for it. And what's lost in all of this is now, because as we all, any of us that have ever built anything new or built something, what we all know is there's always cost overruns or areas where we make like, all right, let's cheap out on that, or let's not do that right now. And so along the way, as you're hitting 3, 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, 3.4, whatever the numbers are, you're like, okay, we can make that decision. We can go ahead and fit 10 chairs. Hey, we can go ahead and finish this space. We can go ahead and have this luxury.
Well, that flexibility, I have a saying that I say to the team all the same time is, I won't let spending money inhibit our growth. You know, and that may be adding a new X-ray sensor. The minute I hear that we're having a bottleneck, get the X-ray sensor. The minute I hear we're having a bottleneck with this, you know, whatever it is, I get it. We refuse to be get in our own way on some level with some of those things. It's crazy.
It's an amazing story. And I hope that you listen to this whole thing. And I know it's long and there's some ups and downs and peaks and valleys in every story, but there is so much good stuff in this, no matter where you're at in your career, whether you're solo and you want to bring in an associate, what Rick and I talked about at the beginning is so important. Whether you're an associate, thinking about where you want to go, what kind of practice you want to be in, there's so much in there for you. Whether that you're an associate, how you want to succeed and really integrate yourself into a practice, there's so many lessons there. As an owner who maybe hasn't funded retirement as well as they should have, there's some lessons there. You know, there's so many lessons along the way of how to become a good partner, where you have to, you know, where's the give and take in all of this? The mindset of replace yourself, you know, learning to get more stuff, learning to add and subtract to your building, and then proving the concept before you get there. Why wait to be successful? You know, whether it's the, you know, dollar, you know, decimal point versus comma thinking. There's so many lessons of the things that we're teaching at 3D Dentist. And that's what I try to get across. And it's not self-serving in a sense. I try to get across to people is just there's so much value in the mindset of just thinking it through. Critical thinking is what I keep calling it. Thinking through what would it look like to make that work. And so instead of moving in here at 2.5 or 3 million in revenue, you're moving in at 4 million in revenue. You're gonna quadruple or 6x your rent plus more, and you won't feel it. And it's a testament to, number one, it's a testament to you, Rick.
It is, really is.
To the mindset. I mean, I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but I want to go through Al-Anon just so I can learn that. I mean, because I need that, because I'm, and I say this very, very, very proudly and not so proudly. I'm not where you guys are at because I don't have your dad's mentality. That difference in our you in 2011 is probably me today mentally.
And we joke all the time. If I came to work for you 5 years ago,
we would have failed. 1,000% we would have failed.
Tons of talent.
Yeah. If you came to work for me today, we'd still do amazing.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you.
Yeah. We'd butt heads for sure.
But our perception's different now.
Yeah.
Probably because of a lot of what being around him. Yeah.
I would be so much farther along if I had your mentality. I really would. I'd be double where I'm now, and I've done pretty well, you know, it's such a testament to you. And people think it's easy to bring in your son, daughter. People think it's easy to buy.
Consultants told us war stories.
Yeah. Well,
didn't they?
You think it's easy to buy land from family members? You think it's easy to build a building next door to where you're at? I would say that's a negative, because every free moment you get, you want to be here.
Do we work? There were times where they're like, dude, you have to come back.
There's some benefit of out of sight, out of mind a little bit, right? So many things that I just come here and I'm so, so daggone happy for you guys and so proud of you, Rick. I'm so proud of you. Oh my God. And Sully, I'm a little proud of you too. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning into this very long episode. I hope we get to keep this episode forever. Let me add one point.
Yes. And it's just a rewrap from my standpoint. We got here because we continually invested in ourselves and technology. When Sully got here, I pushed him in CE and technology. He pushed me farther in CE and technology. We continued to push that envelope. And that's what really got us to that next level and then the next level.
I always say technology is just a prop to help you make things easier. You know, cone beam's a prop for me to talk about sleep apnea. Cone beam's a prop to help me talk about dental implants. Cone beam's a prop to help me talk about missing dentistry. You know, technology, you know, pictures, like even things like the stupid TVs, the vertical TVs, it's a prop to have, you know, to subliminally have conversations with patients. You know, a hand mirror is a prop, you know, to help make discussions easier. It's technology makes things easier. You ultimately still have to kick the door open and make it happen. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to such a long episode. Who knows what'll come to it. If nothing else, Sully and Rick will have a memory for a lifetime and
the
next generation. So
thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.